So, who's ready to talk about fear? Frightful topic, right? Well, so let me start with this. So who here has never been afraid? Anyone? I thought so, right? Because fear, it's in us, right? It's part of being human. We all have it. Like, you know, I was afraid to give this talk. Even though I've done lots of public speaking in my day, I've never done this kind of speaking. A Sunday service, right? And on live streaming, no less. Eek, right? So, and on top of that, some of you know this, some of you don't, but I have Tourette's. And so you can imagine, right, that I might have hesitated to get up here, right? How I might have thought, I don't know, maybe, maybe not. that little voice in my head, you know, started chattering away, right? How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, because we have it, a few of you, good. I'm not alone. Did anyone have the thought, though, what voice? I don't have a little voice in my head. Anybody? Maybe anybody online? Well, that's the voice, okay? So it's that voice that tells you things like, don't do it. Don't risk it. It's not worth it. No one's going to like it. That's the voice, okay? My voice said, when I first agreed to give this talk, my voice said, are you out of your mind? What do you know about giving a sermon? You're not even a licensed Unity teacher. That's what my voice said. And girl, by the way, you are out of practice, which is true. Who do you think you are, Andy Michael? Certainly not, right? So, but the truth is, all those concerns, all those thoughts can all be boiled down to one thing, fear. Plain old, ordinary, everyday fear. Whatever it is, fear of failure, not being good enough, looking bad, looking weird, saying the wrong thing, it's all fear. Now, I want to point out, there are two kinds of fear, the way I see it. There's two kinds of fear. There's that kind of fear that arises out of, you know, real dangers, like, you know, skydiving, rock climbing. I mean, that's dangerous. You can get hurt. People die sometimes. But then there's the other kind of fear of imagined dangers, right? I mean, the fear is just as real, but the dangers are not. So, like, take public speaking, for example. I'm quite sure nobody's ever died from giving a public talk. Although people probably have felt like they were going to die when they were up here, or would rather die, I'm sure it's never happened, right? But that's the kind of fear I'm talking about today. And I like to refer to this as false evidence appearing real. Mm-hmm. You may have heard that before. I didn't come up with that. In fact, I got to thank Andy Michael for giving me that one. But that's exactly the kind of fear I'm talking about today. It's all those thoughts about what could go wrong, what might happen, that kind of stuff. And it stops us, sometimes before we even take the first step. Okay? You know, my biggest fear in giving this talk today wasn't standing up in front of people. It was that I might misrepresent Unity, or maybe the Bible in some way, and that I would say something, someone would get offended, Unity would get a whole slew of angry emails, people would stop coming, people would not come watching online, it'd be all my fault, I'd feel awful, right? I mean, and hey, you know, that could happen, right? I mean, service isn't over yet. But yet, despite all those fears, despite that little voice, I'm still doing it. I'm here. Why? You might wonder, right? Well, the truth is that it's worth it. No matter how it turns out, it will have been worth it. And here's why. So according to Dr. Sanjay Gupta, now you may have heard of him, he's a renowned neurosurgeon, he says in his newest book, Keep Sharp, Build a Brain at Any Age. Any age, wow. that learning something new, starting a new hobby, joining a new club, or even using your non-dominant hand for certain tasks can improve our brain health, right? Help ward off diseases like Alzheimer's and, you know, dementia. Anything that requires heightened attention, focus, or concentration. And believe me, I had to do all of that just to prepare this talk. So even if I never gave it, somehow I ended up not giving the talk, it still would have been worth it for my brain. I had to focus. I have to focus now. I got to click right. You know, I got to make sure I say everything. I got to control my tics. I got to, you know, focus. Turns out, though, it's good for me. That's good for me. And it's good for you to do whatever that is that creates, you know, attention or focus or concentration for you. But he also says that connecting with others in person, face-to-face, right, like now, okay, having a diverse social network can improve our brain's plasticity. If you don't know what that is, it has something to do with the creating of the, of helping our brains to come over the, get over Alzheimer's. And anyway, he talks about that in the book. It's a very good book. I highly recommend it. So who knew that just giving a Sunday talk would be good for my brain health, right? And, you know, let's face it. Modern-day psychologists and therapists and mental health professionals have been telling us for decades, haven't they, that things like mental stagnation, loneliness, isolation, inaction are not good for us, haven't they? Right? And they've never been good for us. They never will be. Even the Bible says in Romans 12:2, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So somebody knew what they were talking about, right? Modern day, you know, health professionals are just now catching up with and confirming what the Bible's been telling us for thousands of years. I think that's so cool. So that's why it was worth it to create this talk, no matter how it turned out. Now, hopefully, I'm not the only one benefiting today. Hopefully somebody gets something out of my talk, right? But I hope you get my point. Don't worry so much about the outcome. Just do the work. Take the first step. Give it a shot. You've only got something to gain. Plus, it just feels good, doesn't it, when you accomplish something? Do that thing you never thought you could do? It just feels good. And now we know it can help ward off dementia. How cool is that? So, how many of you are sitting out here right now, are you online, that are being stopped in some area of your life by fear? Maybe there's something you've always wanted to do. Write that book. Learn a new language. Ask someone out on a date or your boss for a raise. Yeah, but you have all these considerations, all these concerns. You know, I'm too old, I'm too young, not good enough, not smart enough, not good looking enough. Oh, it's too hard, it's too expensive, too time consuming. The list goes on and on, right? But that's what it is. It's whatever concerns you have, I promise you, they're all based in fear. The second kind, false evidence appearing real. Now, that doesn't mean nothing's going to go wrong. It'll all be perfect, right? But chances are your worst fears are not going to come to, they're not going to happen. They're not going to materialize. Chances are. And you'll be missing out on an awesome opportunity to grow, maybe even heal. And it also doesn't mean we ignore our fears or our concerns. No, you prepare the best you can. You do something to alleviate what you think might happen. I mean, I didn't just prepare this talk last night, and this is the first time I'm reading it, right? Gosh, my poor husband over there could probably give the talk himself. He's heard it so many times, right? I read the Bible verses by Reverend Richard McDeesey. I read the whole talk to a bunch of people to get feedback, right? So I feel like I've done everything I know to do to prepare. And then you let God do the rest. I got to let God worry about the results. Now, I know the Bible has a lot to say about fear, But here's just a few of my favorites. There it is. Okay. For God gave, oh, this is for Timothy. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Okay. So clearly, we're not meant to live in fear. It doesn't mean fear is going to disappear. It doesn't mean you're never going to have that. I mean, that's part of being human, right? But I say it can be useful, even the first kind of fear, right? That's why we wear seatbelts and put on helmets to protect ourselves. But even the second kind of fear can be a powerful tool if you use it. It's like a compass to guide you to those areas of life that you might have the most potential for growth or healing. So how do we do that? How do we get past that fear, though? Well, let's look at see what else the Bible has to say about that. All right. So it's Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. And by God, I mean that one power that is absolute good everywhere present. I know there are other names people might use for that, but for this talk, I'll say God. And to be delivered from your fears, it doesn't mean you're not going to have that anymore. And you don't wait until the fear is gone to step up. I mean, I was still afraid the minute I walked up here. I was still afraid. But I did it anyway. You take the first step despite the fear. Okay? Now, let's look at one more verse. No, actually two more. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Now, if you think about it, how can God help you if you're not taking any action? It's not going to happen while you're watching TV or sleeping, right? God couldn't help me with this talk if I never sat down to write the first words, or if I never said yes when I was asked. And then, this is the last Bible verse. Okay, there we go. Might be me. All right, then we have Proverbs 29:25, which says, "The fear of man lays a snare." Interesting, right? "But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." Oh, I kind of think that lion looks pretty safe, don't you think? So trusting is the key. So you've got to trust that it'll all work out. And that requires faith. You got to have faith that God will uphold you and help you and strengthen you. And remember, God works through us and each and every one of us, right? So you've got to trust that you take the first step and others and things around you will show up to support you. Now, you know, fear may creep back in, but the trick is not to stay there, not to let it paralyze you. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other, even if you're still afraid. Do it anyway, and you'll be amazed at the results. And that's where you'll get your faith. When you step out and you realize, whoa, everybody's here to support me. So here's a good example. Now, many of you don't know this, but our Christmas dinner almost got nixed this year, mainly because the main players that usually make that happen just weren't available this year to do that. And no one seemed willing to step up to take the lead, not even me. I mean, oh, you don't want me in charge. Oh, no. Organizing, not my skill set. Can you hear that voice? All right. Well, luckily, Reverend Bunch had enough faith for all of us. And he said, "No, I think we'll have the Christmas dinner." He just put it in the bulletin. I saw it and said, "We're having this Christmas dinner." And it looked like at first that the staff might be handling that, even though Reverend Bunch had no idea really who was going to do it or how it was going to happen. And I thought, whew, I'm off the hook. Somebody else is going to do it. And then I remembered, I was sitting in one of Reverend Bunch's sermons, and I remembered that, you know, at the end of November, I'm giving a talk on not being stopped by my fears. Oh, no. That's exactly what I was doing. Because you know what my biggest fear was in leading the Christmas dinner? Was that I would do something so wrong or miss something so much that it would ruin the Christmas dinner for everybody. I mean, as if one person could even ruin the dinner, right? But if they could, well, it would be me, right? So I realized, well, I got to walk the talk here. So I stepped up and went back to the staff and Reverend Bunch, and I said, okay, I'll do it. And then what happened was amazing. All of a sudden, I mean, wow, Alicia Flores had already started. She bought some stuff, had some plans. Richard McNeese, oh, I can do some music. Paul offered the audio team. Tony Porton in the back said, oh, I can do the Family Christmas Feud this year, which he'd done a few years ago. It's awesome, so you don't want to miss that. Even my husband stepped up, called Ed, like, hey, can the men's group help with set up? And Ed was like, sure. And other people have stepped up since. I mean, that was just in the first few days after that happened. And suddenly, like, I wasn't alone anymore. That's what happens when you trust. Anything is possible. So it seems like the key is faith. And to me, that means trusting in God and the promises of the Bible. And I know no better example of stepping out on faith than when we built this church. I was here 30 years ago when we were renting over on Texas Street. Some of you were here, some of you, I know. And the lease was up. They weren't going to renew it. We had to move. We'd already moved a few times. We wanted our own place. We knew we needed our own place, but, well, we didn't have that kind of money. We didn't have enough congregants, enough tithes, or so it seemed. But our first minister, Reverend Judy Meyer, who had enough faith for all of us, said, yes, we can, and we will. I mean, she just declared it, and we prayed on it, and we asked God to support us. It was amazing. All the donations showed up. The land was even donated. And on Eden Way, I mean, you can't make this up. Oh, and there was an oracle on the corner, by the way. Some of you may remember the big building, the big tall building on the corner. The company was named Oracle. We were like, wow, it's like a miracle. We just knew it was God saying, this is where you belong. And apparently it was, because we're here. And we built this church, parts of it by our own hands. I mean, my handwriting is in that wall right behind the sound table, behind all that, you know, brick and whatever, the on the cement behind. We all wrote our blessings on the walls and on the floor, right? It was an amazing feeling, and it was an amazing accomplishment. And it started with faith of one person. And of course, as many of you know, the same thing or similar thing happened a few years ago when another minister by the name of Paula McDeesey came along and had enough faith for all of us. And she said, yes, we can renovate and expand our church building. And we did. Even though at the time, didn't look like we had quite enough money or enough congregants or enough tithes, but we did. So faith comes first, and the rest will follow. So do any of you need any more reasons to get out there and start doing whatever it is you've been avoiding, putting off, or just plain talking yourself out of because you were afraid? And don't forget, we also have our unity principle, that says God is everywhere present in each and every one of us. And when we use that to co-create, oh, there we go. When we co-create and connect with God through our thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and prayers, we can overcome anything, even our greatest fears. And remember, even Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. So, I'll end with this. What will you choose today? Faith? Or, I bet you can guess, fear. Another question would be, what would you be doing right now if you were being brave? Thank you. So So let's now prepare for our meditation. So just take a deep breath. Breathe out slowly. Close your eyes if that's comfortable. Maybe take another deep breath, you know. And settle into your chair. Feel it supporting you. Feel the energy in this space supporting you, giving you permission to just relax. Listen for that still voice within and be open to whatever comes up as we go into the silence together. Slowly come back to this space. Feel the chair under you again. Gently open your eyes when you're ready. As we all give thanks today.
Of